I was just reminded earlier, years ago when I was teaching in Sunday school, just to show the children sort of that, you know, we could be in God and He could be in us, I took a sponge bucket of water and put the sponge in the water just to prove that the water was in the sponge, but the sponge was in the water. And it's such a lovely picture which has been coming again and again this morning, that, you know, we are in Him and He is in us. And we can soak it all up. Lots of it. My reading this morning is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Amen. May God add His blessing to that reading. Okay, all right. And it's what Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel or a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus used lots of pictures to teach us truths about the kingdom of God and about our lives as believers. And He talked about seed in a lot of them. This is the lesson about the grain seed. Now, here's one God prepared earlier. The grain of wheat up here, secure on its stem and high up, cries out to God to make it more fruitful. It ripens in the sunshine and thinks God has ignored its cries. But the Lord's gently preparing it and loosening it from its fastenings, its bindings to the stem. And a hand then takes hold of it, pulls it from the stem, and it's dropped into the dark earth. What's happening? Where am I? Where's the sunshine? Where's everything I was familiar with? There was an advert years ago for mushy peas. I don't know if anybody saw it. But they were coming down this production line, all these little peas, and the boys were saying to them at the end of it, "Hey, pea, remember your pod. Remember your brothers and sisters. Remember being secure there." And this pea would sort of start crying, go all mushy, and became a mushy pea. And I was just thinking about as I prepared that. This poor little seed, having left all it was familiar with, being put into the dark earth. You know, where's my companions? Where's the stalk I was familiar with? Where's my happy life in the sunshine? I was so high up on my stalk, I could see everything from there, and now I'm under the ground. Where's God? Has he abandoned me? And to make matters worse, even the crumbling round the little seed begins to wear away. You know, it could perhaps cope with everything apart from losing its looks. But, you know, even that happened. This is too much. The isolation, the darkness, the uselessness. And now this, it's too much. But in spite of all this, the little grain chooses to rest in the faithfulness of God. Psalm 42. Is that this or not? No, okay. I just have to read it here. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Even when it gets all dark, isolated, everything seems to be going wrong, you know, yet will we hope in him. But all the time, God's been answering the prayers for fruitfulness. At the right time for growth, new life begins, and it springs out of this tiny little seed. And from that, a new plant grows, many, many more grains, and what a harvest. You know, we can really believe for what a harvest. And the life of God cannot break through into fruitfulness unless we're broken by God's own hand. Your surroundings, your sorrows, your failures were all permitted by him so that he might release more and more of his abundant life in and through you and make you more and more fruitful. You know, the same goes for vision too. God's principles are so often that he reveals something to us and then all the circumstances in the world seem to be against what is revealed to us. This is reverse the whole thing, and then after a time he restores it, and that happens time and time again with different things. And sort of think of us, you know, choosing to move from Bonnevo to here and sort of looking around here and thinking of all the things that could go wrong, you know, all the cost, all the work involved and everything. It seemed as if God had sort of reversed everything, but then, you know, in the fullness of time it's released to us. But that happens so many, many times in the kingdom of God. Never doubt in the darkness what God has promised in the light. Just want to say that again, so it's so important. Never doubt in the darkness what God has promised in the light. The alabaster box had to be broken so that all the fragrance, again the fragrance of Jesus, all the goodness might pour out. And one scripture that we had to learn as a memory verse when we were doing our training, which we didn't particularly like and still don't, but it's so true, from James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Many great men of faith had to go through this process. We're not alone. Moses, at age 40, having been sort of in the equivalent of university in Egypt, you know, he had all these privileges, all his education, thought he was ready for anything, and yet God had him rearing sheep for 40 years before he was really ready for what God had planned for him. In a dream, God showed Joseph everyone bowing down to him. And yet, straight after that, he was thrown in the pit. Later on, he was in prison. You know, he must have doubted in the darkness what God had promised in the light. God never changes his mind about us. He's the master builder, and he's making our foundations really firm and strong. Joseph became an important ruler in Egypt, was able to deliver his people from famine. And Jesus himself was in the wilderness for 40 days in preparation for his ministry. Someone reminded me this week in an email about an eagle which will fly away to a high ledge at times and stay there, and when it's there it pulls all its feathers out. It must look a very sorry, sad, pitiful sight and feel completely useless because it can't move from there. But it's in order that it can grow new feathers so that it can fly far and high and ride the thermals. God wants us to go far and high and ride with him. And he has spent some of these times of preparation getting us there. It's like growing new feathers so we can ride on the winds of his Holy Spirit. I wouldn't like to go through the painful time we went through before we moved here, what God took us through, stripping away everything that was familiar before he planted us here. I hope for fruitfulness. Even now, we've been going through a very dry desert experience through this time of fasting. It's been very difficult. But I know we're not alone there. I know some of you have been struggling as well. But the growth is going to burst forth. Just watch the harvest field. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Remember my beakers a little while ago. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. That place of security, of being hidden with Christ in God. How secure can we be? Whatever it feels like, however lonely or troublesome our situation, the abundant life of God is just waiting to burst forth, making us stronger and more effective. And as we sort of look at communion, Jesus himself, of course, was prepared to be that grain of wheat. Totally submitted to the Father's hand, going through such agony in the garden and on the cross, prepared to die in order that we might have everlasting life. Prepared to go in order that the Holy Spirit might come to enable us to reach this lost world. John 16, Jesus said, "None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from that he will receive that he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Jesus had to be that grain of white wheat, you know, being prepared to die so that the Holy Spirit could come and live and remain in us, so that we could reach a world that desperately needs it. We're going to be looking in much more depth at the Holy Spirit this month. But Jesus had to be that grain of wheat in order that the Holy Spirit could come. And let's just look again at that brokenness of Jesus, said so beautifully in Isaiah 53, just before we come around the table. This grain of wheat that was submitted to the Father's hand. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Unless the wheat is milled, it can't become the finest bread. Unless the olive is pressed, it can't become the finest oil. Unless the grapes are crushed, they can't become the finest wine. We just thank the Lord this morning that he was prepared to go through all that for you and for me.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Yeah.